Hello and welcome to the Monocle Arts Review. I'm Tom Edwards. We're talking books on today's show, and joining me in the studio is someone whose voice you might be used to hearing from this side of the studio table. It's Georgina Godwin.
It's really weird being on this side.
Well, this is going to be something of an interrogation. No, of course it isn't. Georgina is our resident books expert, and she's on hand to talk us through some of the summer's blockbuster novels, some topical translated fiction, and something to get you around Transylvania if you happen to be travelling there for the book fair this weekend, which you are.
Absolutely. It's apparently the biggest party weekend in Transylvania. It's a wonderful book
festival. The mind boggles. We'll come to that in a minute, Georgina. But let's start in an upbeat way with some Bright Precious Days, shall we? That's the brand new novel by Jay McInerney. And I believe, Georgina, I've been informed that you were chatting with him just this past week. This is the final instalment of a trilogy, is that correct? Remind us where Jay has taken us to in parts one and two.
Well, Bright Lights, Big City was his huge, big breakthrough, and I think it was in 1984, and it was all about kind of being strung out on drugs, inventing the phrase Bolivian marching powder, although we're told now he walks to a different drum. But that was a huge contemporary classic, and it was a kind of generation-defining novel. And then Brightness Falls came out in 1984. That ended with Black Monday. The Good Life in 2006 started with 9/11. And then this one has the whole financial crash of 2008. It also has the primaries, Obama versus Clinton. And so what he's done is kind of every decade come out with what they are calling a generation-defining novel. Mm. The last three in particular feature a couple called Russell and Kareen Calloway, who live in Manhattan. They're a kind of typical Manhattan couple, I suppose, who are in moneyed circles but aren't particularly wealthy themselves. He works in publishing. It's the whole kind of Manhattan social scene. I think the one thing that Jay was trying to get across about it was their enduring relationship they celebrate their 25th wedding anniversary during the book.
Well, let me ask you about that then. It's interesting, especially charting the history of this trilogy and indeed his works that have covered this sort of space. You know, people say, oh, he's the Fitzgerald of the modern era and this kind of thing. Is he a chronicler of, I don't know, American social history, or is he a chronicler of American lives? And I don't know, is there really a difference even?
Well, I mean, the way he put it was, he said that he was, when he went to Manhattan first in the 70s, and he'd kind of travelled around a lot as a child, he'd been in Syracuse and things, and then he came to Manhattan and there was a huge art scene going on, and he felt that all of the artists, and indeed the musicians, I mean, he says that in fact a punk came out of New York, that Malcolm McLaren just happened to visit New York at the right time and kind of lifted it, and he said all of this was happening and people were writing about it and getting into the music and getting into the art, but nobody was actually putting it down as literature. And that's what he felt that he needed to do and did. And then, of course, was immediately followed by people like Bret Easton Ellis, who in fact even stole one of his characters and put Jay himself in one of his books. And then Tom Wolfe with Bonfire of the Vanity. So very much a person who started a trend, I think.
And how does he fit in? It always used to strike me as interesting when you had, you know, the likes of Norman Mailer, and you'd have these eminent authors battling over, you know, who was the preeminent man of letters in American, whether it's in as novelists or as essayists. Where do you think, it's interesting, I'd love to hear what you say, having spoken to him at length, Where does McInerney sit, do you think, in that pantheon, in that history?
Well, I mean, I think that he'd possibly liken himself, or would like to liken himself, to Raymond Carver, who was very much a mentor of his. But he interestingly said that he doesn't really care about his legacy. He doesn't want to get to the end of his life and think.
Did he look convincing when he said that?
You know, I was quizzing him much more about his marriages.
You've got to be careful when Georgina gets you in for an interview.
But his marriages are really interesting because he's on his fourth one now, and it's to Anne Hurst, who is of the, you know, the Hurst publishing empire. So, I mean, I think she's worth something like $28 billion. And so one of the critical themes of the novel is that the couple say that there are two teams, the art and love team and the money team, and that they're always on the art and love team. And I had to say, Jay, you've obviously changed teams here. And he said, no, it's quite possible to have money and still be for art and love.
Where does he go next? Did you talk about looking to the future? I mean, because, as you say, you've got these interesting chronicles. And I guess the way that the cyclical financial markets have gone over the last, 30 or 40 years, that kind of lends itself to these extraordinary peaks and troughs which are reflected in the novels. Does he sit tight and wait to see what's going to befall the global markets in the next 15 years, or what's next?
Well, I think he's slightly amazed by the fact that he's seen as somebody who can almost predict these things coming along. And I know that the New York Times review made reference to that and said that they hope that he comes up with another one in the series, but that must mean then that there will be another great catastrophe. So I guess we just have to wait and see. He's certainly not killing them off, and he says he's very, very fond of the characters, and that he hopes to kind of meet them again. So perhaps there's life in them, and indeed in him still.
More pages to be turned. Absolutely. And there's plenty of pages, about 1,200 counting in that trilogy.
It's a big, big book. But, you know, he came on Meet the Writers, as you mentioned, and it was such a great interview that we're actually putting it out over two episodes. So in a couple of weeks, we'll have Jay times two over 2 weeks. And he just really gets quite forensic about all sorts of things. I mean, not just his marriages and his work. He's very interesting on relationships with editors, because in the book, there is a kind of seminal relationship between a writer and his editor. And it's very interesting how he works with his, who he's known for years and years, and how he feels that relationship ought to work. He's very interested on the kind of the technical side.
The mechanics. Well, they always say, you know, don't look backstage, or don't look too much at the nuts and bolts, because it spoils the illusion. I don't know. Well, let's listen to what Jay has to say. As you mentioned, Georgina, we'll be hearing from him on your Meet the Writer show, which is definitely one to mark in your diary. In the meantime, you can read Bright Precious Days by Jay McInerney. It's out now, published by Bloomsbury. Let's move on, Georgina. Now, keen-eared listeners may have noticed that you've not been in all your regular spots on Work 24 of late. And that's because you've been in Colombia.
That's true.
So you already gave the game away. You're going to Transylvania. Too well travelled by half, I say. But nevertheless, Colombia, an extraordinary literary country and a pretty extraordinary place per se. We're going to talk about a piece of Colombian fiction in a moment, but just tell us what were you doing and what did you make of it?
Well, of course, when anybody mentions literature in Colombia, the name that comes to the forefront of one's mind is Gabriel Garcia Marquez, the preeminent Colombian writer. And in fact, he's so popular there that the country of Colombia has lifted his kind of genre of writing. And they say Colombia, a place of magical realism. And it's kind of everywhere you go. And it's, I mean, what a legacy.
You can't blame him, to be fair. I mean.
But the other legacy he left was some money to start a foundation, and he was very keen for that to further the work of journalists, particularly working in the cultural field. So it's the Gabriel Garcia Marquez Foundation, and then he offers a fellowship, or the foundation now offer a fellowship to cultural journalists from all over the world. And so they take 15 people every year, 5 from Colombia, 5 from Latin America, and 5 from the rest of the world. And I was really lucky to be one of the 5. And the focus this year was on the crossover between Colombia and Africa. So we were on the Caribbean coast in Cartagena, looking at basically all the slaves who came across from the west of Africa. First landfall was Cartagena in Colombia. And then what happened to them and how that's influenced the culture there. And indeed, Marquez's own writing in lots of ways.
Well, and it's another celebrated Colombian writer, Juan Gabriel Vasquez, that we're going to talk about now. This is a new book, Reputations, which follows a cartoonist, political cartoonist in Bogota, who meets a young journalist who turns out to be a childhood friend of his daughter. Just tell us a bit about this story, Georgina, in short. Is it a commentary on media? Is it about, we've seen obviously lots of stories about the difficulty in doing satire? Some of the themes that are kicked around here?
Absolutely. The protagonist, as you say, is an influential political cartoonist, and it's the consciousness of a nation, I suppose they call him. He's a man capable of repealing laws, overturning judges' decisions, destroying politicians' careers with his art, and of course his weapon is his pen. But after 4 decades of a really brilliant career, he's at the height of his powers, and then it's all changed. And he gets an unexpected visit, and the plot sort of takes off from there. It's a kind of late life crisis for this man, and it's a. Well, it's an extraordinary book. Everything that he thought he knew about his sense of personal history and everything completely changes. He's forced to reevaluate his life and his work and sort of question his position in the world and his position in terms of authority, which he's always been against. And it has some unexpected twists and turns in it.
And what about kind of stylistic flourishes? You know, will you, if you're a devotee of Gabriel Garcia Marquez, will you see flourishes of that sort of style in Vasquez? Where his reputation is that he's rather more, I don't know, compact and a bit more of a sort of a dense storyteller.
Absolutely. You know, while I was there, I asked about the local literature, as I always do, and people said to me that very much nowadays, contemporary Colombian writers are trying to get away from Marquez's shadow, really, from that magical realism image. And Vasquez's novels are very firmly rooted in fact, and his style's quite minimal. He doesn't focus on the other Colombian stereotype, which is drugs and violence. Although, having said that, he had an award-winning novel. It won the IMPAC Award, which is sort of the Irish award, like the Booker, I suppose, for international books. And that does take it's called The Sound of Things Falling, and it does take a bit of a sideways look at the drugs trade. But he, along with other contemporary writers, has very firmly moved away from that the whole kind of Garcia Marquez legacy, I suppose.
So you can judge for yourself how successful that is. The book is Reputations. It's by Juan Gabriel Vasquez. It's out now, also published by Bloomsbury. Let's finish with a travel guide, shall we, today, Georgina? Colombia, Transylvania, you're chalking off all the regular spots. But you did mention you're going to the Transylvania Book Fair. Well, tell us about that, first of all.
You know, I'm really not very sure. It sounds
fabulous. It's good to be daring with one's travels.
I've been told to turn up in a place I have never heard of. I've booked on an airline I've never flown before. I'm assured I'll be picked up and given a lovely weekend, and all I have to do is talk about books, which I'm quite happy to do. The other thing I've been told that I mustn't talk about is the undead. So for a Zimbo...
Yeah, well, I fell foul of that before we started talking, which was like, oh, is it something to do with the undead? And apparently there's plenty more going on. Is that what you're going to discover?
Absolutely.
That's the plan.
The history there is extraordinary, and this book here really, really shows you that. It's a charming, accessible guide, I suppose, and it focuses on the towns and the villages of the greater Tanava Valley. Now, I don't even know if I'm saying that right. Next week, I'll
sounded
be able to
good.
Tell you
sounded
how to pronounce it.
We can revisit. But this is interesting, because this book you're describing, which is a guide to help you and others find their way, I guess literally and perhaps metaphorically, is that written by the very founder of the festival, is that right?
That's right. So she's, the book itself is not being promoted at the festival, but she has, I think, has a background in travel. And so what she's done is kind of got all these like-minded bookish people together. And in fact, all of the books being discussed have some kind of Romanian connection. They're either written by a Romanian or are about Romania or the region or the history or something. And then there's a whole kind of cultural tour that goes around the festival, apparently, which, you know, goes into what's in the book, so the history, the Romanian, Hungarian, Saxon, Jewish and Roma cultures that all came together in a really rich mix, as far as I can tell from this book, which is, it's really kind of quirky. I mean, for instance, she talks about one group of people who then sort of massively improve, if you like, but she says that they have a high birth rate and low expectations, which I thought was...
I think I know some people like that.
And referring to a church that perhaps isn't so pretty, she said, best viewed from a distance and at speed.
Pretty, I might know some places like that as well. And it's interesting. I mean, you talk about these parts of the world that have, you know, people have a lot of very preconceived ideas about them. And sometimes people like to kind of build on those. Say, with, you know, in Colombia, there's an extraordinary literary heritage which everyone wants to sort of talk about. How powerful a tool do you think, you know, say, a literary fair can be to challenge some of those ideas? Because let's not forget that, you know, parts of Romania are regarded by a small few as some of Europe's most beautiful and extraordinary sort of landscape. So there's another story to tell. Do you think it's actually a canny idea to put on a festival of this type?
I really do, actually. I mean, judging from this book, it is absolutely stunning scenery. Lots of flower meadows, lots of really ancient churches, and just, it sounds really, really beautiful. And I think by bringing people in, and people who may not have just gone there on a holiday, people who want to have something to do while they're there, you're obviously reaching a wider market, as you are indeed with the book, and the two in tandem, I think will definitely raise the profile and change the image, I hope, of that part of the world. I say I hope. I haven't been there yet. Might be
horrible. It might be terrible, in which case we'll reconvene and you can do it absolutely, you know.
But if this Travels in Transylvania by Lucy Abel Smith is right, then I'm sure it's absolutely
stunning.
Lots
to look forward to. Well, we'll look forward to hearing more from you, Georgina, on your return from your next tranche of travels. You have
Thank
to tell us all
much.
About it. And you can pick up Blue Guide Travels in Transylvania by Lucy Abel Smith, as Georgina said. And the festival starts today and runs through till the 11th of September. What a whistle-stop tour on today's show. Thanks, Georgina.
It's such a pleasure.
For being the guest. You're rather good on that side of the microphone.
Oh, no, I don't want to stay here.
It's all right, we'll allow you back. That's the end of today's programme. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Our producer was Holly Fisher and our researcher, Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us at the same time tomorrow. We'll be rounding up this year's Venice Film Festival with Jason Solomons, no less. But for now, thank you for listening. Goodbye.